It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Two big NFL announcements today. Aaron Donald, retired. Be gone. Quarterbacks around the league have tweeted and rejoiced, including Colin Murray. I'm not kidding you. Cam Jordan of the Saints congratulated him. He was pretty good. It's just it. Also, what are the Vikings doing? Have you seen what they did? They have made a trade, Texans, to acquire their first-round pick. They now have two first-round picks. Many believe it's to move on up. In the deal, Vikings acquire the Texans' 23rd pick overall, along with a 7th-round pick. The Texans receive the Vikings' 2nd-round pick, number 42 this year, their 6th-round pick, number 188, and their 2nd-round pick next year. But now, the Vikings have number 11 and number 23. Diana Russini, the Athletic, tweeting, they have a plan, .. Many believe that plan is to move up and go get themselves a quarterback. Be interesting to see who it is that they want. Now, there is absolute belief by a lot of people tweeting today that cover the league. You could be seeing 4 quarterbacks go in the top 6 picks.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
It is Friday. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Ross Jackson, I'll ask him. Nathan Peterman, let's be honest. I mean, like, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. When I hear that, I think of Peterman. Right? Lots of excitement, Nathan Peterman. Oh, poor Chef Scotty. John Forte just giving it to him this morning. Just giving it to him. Like I said, I'll ask Ross Jackson. I mean, I was saying yesterday, if you listen to the show, it could be the most exciting offense you've ever seen at fullback. Adam Prentice resigning. He spoke with local media yesterday. And Sander Horvath, who said he's been waiting to play in an offense like this all of his career. A pair, not one, 2 fullbacks for your New Orleans Saints. You know what? I'm moving on. Anyway, we'll have some fun with that. In a good way. Hour 2 is brought to you by Chris's Paving. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, they're locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. If you're paving it, give them a call. 985-960-2131. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. We've been talking about the Pelicans as they are getting ready to take on the Clippers tonight. New Orleans, 7.5-point favorites. Rafael Esparza coming up next. Is that too high? Do you go with the points? How do you feel about that one? Pelicans looking to rebound from that loss back on Wednesday. As head coach Willie Green said, yes, they were disappointed. They didn't care for the beating that they took place there. Got to move on from that. Trey Murphy very quickly. His thoughts on the loss.
Parts of self-inflicted, but I mean, also is the NBA. You play 82 games. They're not going to go right every single time. They took out the 3 in the game, and they generated a lot of 3s themselves. So it's a simple math problem. If they take more 3s and make more 3s, they're probably going to win the game.
There you go. Trey Murphy said coach did talk to him before practice yesterday. The message from Coach Willie Green.
Really just being ourselves, playing with a sense of urgency. Understand every game means a lot. Every possession means a lot. So got to be prepared for playoff basketball, playing against good teams.
All right, there you go. So just get ready. See what takes place tonight, for sure. By the way, Derrick Henry spoke yesterday. As again, we're kind of talking about some of the things that took place in free agency. And he was asked if he has a... I love this. I just want to play this. The message for those that say he's washed up.
I'm going to keep watching. People are always going to have something to say. I'm going to have opinions. I'm just here ready to work, ready to get things started, and do my best to help this organization.
There you go. All right, so... ready to work on that. But again, with the Vikings, man, that's an interesting thing as to where where they're going to go, perhaps, and where they just everyone feels they're now going to try to move up and go get a quarterback. And as to who that is, Dan Graziano was just on SportsCenter.
The Vikings now have two first-round picks, and they're picking, what, 11 and now 23. So if you're a team that's trying to move up in the first round of the draft for a quarterback, having two first-round picks is a very helpful thing. I think I would be watching the Vikings for further moves.
All right. So let's see what happens there. As we mentioned, the Saints did make some sightings. Xander Horvath, fullback, and of course, Willie Gay was made available, Willie Gay Jr. yesterday, so I do have some sound from that. They also did sign Cedric Wilson Jr. He's a receiver, most recently with the Dolphins, as we said, back in hour number 162, 197, six-year NFL vet. And again, this is why we're going to talk with Ross Jackson, as he pointed out in a tweet earlier this morning, when he went and looked at some tape. He was with the Cowboys in 2021. And he said, look, he ran a steady amount of routes out of the backfield for motion. It's something he expects to see a lot with the receivers in 2024 with the Saints. Look, it makes sense. It's why even Sean Payton got to, you know, to Denver. He tried to bring in some Saints players, right? Culture, how you do those things, but more importantly in offense is how we run it. So it makes sense. I know they're not the splashy jersey-selling sort of moves that we talked about it with Garland Gillen from Fox 8. It's kind of like the analogy I've been using that even Mario, who's listening, appreciates too. You choose dinner differently the week right after your paycheck as opposed to paycheck day, which is Friday. It's paycheck day for some of us, right? So you get what I'm getting at? Like today, hey, what do we do? Let's eat. And then on Saturday and Sunday, right, let's... got any leftovers? I mean, you know how that works, right? And that's what I mean, but that's what I've been saying all week. I understand everyone that covers the Saints, from Underhill to Catherine Terrell to Ross Jackson to John Hendricks to the TV station reporters. I understand everyone going, don't worry about the cap. They're going to get under the cap. Don't worry about how over. I understand that. Getting in the black is different than having money to spend. You're not going to convince me that's the same thing. Again, not saying that they would have made difference makers or you would have bought a jersey for Malcolm Roach, for Lonnie Johnson, for Zach Bond. And maybe you can get better than that and move on. I understand that, but those three players were on your team. Looked like Zach Bond finally, they figured out how to use him. He goes to the Eagles. Lonnie Johnson tweets, the defensive back who had a nice little stint last year with the team. Signed with the Texans for 2.5, I think, 2.9, something like that. He's like, I tried. Love Nola. I tried. We tried to try to make it work. It didn't because he didn't have that little extra cash. He didn't have that money. Or you thought whatever little money you're going to have, you have to make decisions. That's what I'm talking about. Like, we can actually relate to what they're doing. Because I think most people live that way. Check came in, got a couple $100. All right. After bills, what do we have left? Okay, now we have to decide. We want a really nice dinner. Carver wants a new toy. Anna, what are you doing on Amazon? I'd like to finally get a pair of shoes. Some new J's. But I mean, that's where you decide. You have to pick one or the other, right? Don't we can understand that. What I've been saying this week is at some point, that's not a winning philosophy. Gus, they've won in the past. You have. Because no one's pointing out you can kick the can. Like when you saw the numbers with Ryan Ramczyk. Yeah, his number's low this year. Low next year. It's $29 million to the cap in 2025. He may not even be on the team. Nah, but Gus, the cap goes up. Look at it go up this year. That new TV deal. Somebody's going to give him a new TV deal. You're right. I hear you. But you still have to overcome that. What I'm saying is, don't you think it'd be easier to get under the cap if you didn't have a $29 million cap hit? I mean, you get what I'm getting at? You have high numbers of cap hits on players that are either aging, aren't going to be here in a year or two, or no longer in the team. That philosophy works as I've been saying this week, and I haven't seen many people speak about this, and maybe so maybe I'm wrong, but that works when your front-end talent is top talent in the league. Drew Brees was a top 10 quarterback. I know he didn't get the respect. We're not talking about the respect. The guy's a Hall of Famer. He was a top 5, top 10 quarterback in the NFL. From 2017 to 19, when they should have won, Alvin Kamara and Marshawn Lattimore won the Offensive and Defensive Rookies of the Year. They were talented. When DeMario Davis first came here, I get he was an All-Pro last year. I get it. But it's a little different than a couple years ago. Cam Jordan had 2.5 sacks last year, dude. But for a couple of seasons ago, he was one of the top defensive ends in the NFL. You had some of the top. I mean, again, you can like him or not for the Minnesota, Minneapolis miracle, whatever you want to call it. But Marcus Williams did. Now, again, he's moved on from some teams, but at that time, he did go get a top contract at his position. Ryan Ramczyk, several years ago, didn't give up a sack in a year. I know that was his rookie year, and he's been injured since. So I get that. You had good play. You had Michael Thomas in 2019. 18, setting records. When you have players like that, you can not care about getting new talent. You have top talent. The problem that I'm saying is I think it's coming up here, whether it's this year, whether it's next year. At some point, you no longer have top talent in the league. You better be careful you have top talent in your division. And that's why I went through the exercise yesterday. Realistically, Saints fans, let's go through it. We can. In the four teams of the NFC South, who has the best quarterback, who has the best running back, who's the best number one receiver, who has the best tight end, this is just offense, which team has, I don't know, top 20 tackle, guard, or center? We can do that if you'd like. I don't know if you want the answer to that. Because I don't know if it's as big a gap as it has been where it was absolutely the Saints. Pass rushers. I mean, the Bucs just franchise tagged the defensive back, safety. Are you franchise tagging the Saints safeties? They got rid of one and extended another. I love Tyrann Mathieu. He's not a franchise tag safety. There's talk Marshawn Lattimore is going to be traded, a trade friendly deal. That doesn't make you better. He gets injured a lot. I hear you. But when he's not, he's still easily your best quarterback. Like, that's not even a question. I love what Alante Taylor did. You mean the guy that got benched last year? Well, that's because it was in the slot. I got you. But he's not Marshawn Lattimore. So, that's the thing that I'm saying this week. I'm not poo-pooing their signings. I haven't given the NFC South title to the Falcons. I'm just saying at the end of the day, you can bring in coach, you can bring in all of this. Jimmy's and Joe's. Who has the better talent? And then you add the weirdest thing of all. All four teams will have brand new offensive coordinators. Many haven't called a single play. Now, Canales with Carolina was the OC in Tampa, so he has. But Zach Robinson, Kubiak, they haven't called a play. So I get you have to go perform on the field, but that's all I'm saying is when you look at it, I think the philosophy of, hey, we get under the cap, we keep our players, that's all great. But at some point in time, Father Time's undefeated. At some point in time, those players aren't the best at their position anymore. At some point in time, those players aren't the best at their position in your division. And that's what I'm afraid of when I look at the Saints right now. I could be wrong, but that's what frightens me a little bit. Are they the best players at their position? The Falcons' top offensive weapons are 23 years old. Sports Hangover Hour 2 is brought to you by Chris's Pavings. When we come back, Rafael Esparza next on ESPN New Orleans.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It's that time of the year. I know you're busy, sir. Rafael Esparza at VSI.sports. The way to follow over on social media. Free Instagram video of the day. And I'm sure you're breaking down the Nathan Peterman, Xander Horvath, Cedric Wilson Jr., Willie Gay Jr. signings for your New Orleans Saints in your video today, huh? Did you fit it all in 30 seconds?
There was the whole thing. That's all I talked about was that, was how everyone keeps on asking me who's done well so far. I've given the NFC North A plus, plus, plus. I've given the Saints A minus, minus. I mean, that's how close it is for what you guys have done so far.
See, I was waiting, and now your laughter tells me that you weren't serious. Okay, I was. You know what? Let's get to something real serious. Aaron Donald calling it a day, retiring. What's the next step for him? Is it television?
I don't know if he has the TV look, or I mean, just on interviews I've seen, I would not be shocked if he does. Like I text you, boxing, wrestling, maybe movies for stunts or something like that. Or he just sits around and cashes checks and makes appearances and waves and kisses babies.
There you go. I know we always think of, like, what's next for somebody? I mean, maybe somebody just wants to kind of not do anything and just sit down a little bit, huh? That would be interesting. The other big news is Minnesota moving up in the draft. And I know you're like, whatever. But at the same point, though, I mean, there's prop bets and there's movement and there's money that comes in. Minnesota now has two first-round picks, 11 and 23. A lot of people believe they now want to move up to go get a quarterback. Where do you think realistically that is? What are the wise guys telling you over there in the desert?
Yeah, they say they're trying to move up. Now, can they move up? I mean, trying and can are two totally different things. So they're trying. That's why they moved up. They're trying to see if they can lure someone in there. I know they said they had their eyes on J.J. McCarthy. The other guy in the division might be interesting, but there's no way the Bears trade feels into a division team. They are looking for a quarterback. Let's face it, Sam Donald is not their quarterback. And Jefferson's not going anywhere. I'm tired of seeing that on social media. Oh, Jefferson wants out. Maybe he should go to the Bengals. Bengals have cut their running back and wide receiver because they have no money. How are they going to afford him?
He's leaving. He's coming here. What do you think? Justin Jefferson here? I did see a rumor that the Bengals want to go get Justin Jefferson and reunite Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase.
They don't have money. They had to get rid of Mixon. They had to get rid of Higgins. I mean, they have no money. How are they going to afford? That's an awful, awful.
I also saw one wild rumor out there today that all of this is being done on purpose. Jim Harbaugh getting rid of, you know, receivers, defensive players, Eckler, all these guys. What are they doing, by the way?
That's it. That's $1 million question. I have no idea what they're doing in there. But here's my dream thing that I want to the Chargers to do. The Bears get the number 5th pick, then and Justin Herbert. Chargers get Justin Fields in the number 1. Chargers draft Marvin Harrison. Where's the Ohio State fans do with Harbaugh doing that? That'd be fantastic. Ohio State quarterback, Ohio State wide receiver. That'd be hilarious.
Well, that's where I'm going at, because I've seen several people suggest that if you're getting rid of the top receivers and running back and defensive players, is Jim Harbaugh looking to trade Justin Herbert?
No, I just think they're doing a soft reset. I think that's all they're doing. They know they're not going to win anything anytime soon. Even with those weapons they had in Herbert, they weren't going to win anytime soon. So I just think they're doing a soft reset. Like, do what the Texans did. Bring some youth in here. Bring some guys in here that we no one's heard of, but they have a monster season. Look what the Texans did. The Colts have been doing some younger guys. I just think they're doing a soft reset. I think Herbert's not going anywhere.
All right. Bracketology, I know you're excited about this. You do want to talk about this. Let's just start before we get into some teams, as I'm watching Mississippi State 45-28 over one Tennessee here in the SEC quarterfinal, because obviously teams can help their cause and case and things of that nature. But just overall, I'm curious, how much money gets bet on March Madness?
It's in the billions. It's a $1 billion industry for March. Yeah, it's a $1 billion industry world. I'll say worldwide and statewide, stuff like that. This is just monster money comes in. And now you have to add in conference tournaments. I remember back in the day when conference tournaments brought in nothing. Like, this was a slow time for us.
Right.
And we're preparing for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for March Madness. But now, how they do everything, how March Madness, they spread all the games out, because back in the day, all four games started all at once. Now
That's
they
right.
spread all the games out so you can get action on all at once. Yeah, it's just a crazy, crazy time. And some schools, that's their spring break. So now throw in spring break involved, where everyone's still spending their mom and dad's credit card money that they gave them for food only, but they're making parlays and brackets and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy time.
Okay. Is Purdue still the number one overall seed?
Well, definitely if Tennessee continues to play like they're doing, yeah, Purdue would be the number one seed. I mean, that's a big win for them. If Tennessee goes down, and I'm going to say Tennessee's probably going to go down, I think it'd be in order, Purdue, UConn, Houston, and I think maybe North Carolina moves up and Tennessee, it gets out of that, which I hope not, because I want North Carolina too, because I want a better odds, because they're my prediction to cut down the Nets.
All right. Looking at on the bubble, they have Mississippi State here on ESPN. Obviously, if they beat Tennessee today, does that get you off the bubble?
For today, but see, with Dayton losing yesterday, that means someone's bubble's popping, because that means someone from that conference is going to go in that shouldn't been in. So
okay.
Just because you're on that bubble, the last four buys of Mississippi State and all that, if you're Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and St. John's, you don't need any more Dayton's going down and someone cuts down the Nets that shouldn't be there, because that means you're out.
Look, McNeese is the only team in the state that's still alive here as well. Are they in?
Yeah, they'll be in. They're probably, I don't think they'll play a Tuesday or Wednesday game. They'll probably be, they'll probably play Thursday, Friday.
That's why I'm asking right here, because on the bubble, they got Grambling, Montana State, Norfolk State, and Wagner to battle to be the 16 seed. Seton Hall, Virginia, Colorado, Texas A&M to be the two 11 seeds. And in this bracketology, they have them in the Midwest as a 12 seed with an arrow pointing upwards to take on South Carolina, a 5 seed. So, I mean, that they think they're in.
Yeah, they're in, and they can surprise a lot of people. So I would not sleep on them at all. So there's a lot of Vermont, a 14 seed, I think last time I saw, could sneak up and bite someone. The Grand Canyon, who are a high-paced game, will probably be a 12 seed. They can sneak up and beat like a 5 seed or even a 6 seed. There's a lot of teams that I think that can sneak up and burst a lot of bubbles early.
Well, that 12-5 matchup's always one you always keep an eye on, right? That's always where you see some upsets. Again, this is just bracketology.
A 15 seed can make some noise.
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's one that's standing out to me, and it's only probably because we follow it, because Tulane's in the American Athletic Conference, but South Florida, they have them as a 12 seed against BYU. Like, I don't care who they're playing. If they're 12, I'm circling them.
Yeah, but if they play BYU and BYU gets hot, not only can they hit the three ball, they run the picket fence at sometimes.
What? The picket fence.
I've seen them run it once. It was hilarious, and I think they made it. So I would not want to face BYU. They can be red hot shooting a ball, and they don't miss that many free throws.
How dangerous can the three C's be? Again, this is bracketology, but in this bracket from ESPN, they got Kentucky as a 3, Duke as a 3, Creighton as a 3, Baylor as a 3.
I mean, if they get hot, they could. I think Baylor goes out today, so they'll have some time to rest and get some nagging injuries. Kentucky is always going to be Kentucky, but they don't do it. Creighton, I would say Creighton can, but I was very disappointed in how they ended their season.
Okay.
They can get messed up by, let's say, a 14 seed or a 13 seed. Maybe like if they have to play UC Irvine, Vermont, Charleston, I think they can get beat.
Final thing for you that I definitely want to get into as well. Is there a game or a championship or something that I need to pay attention to, do you think can affect some brackets here?
There's some tournaments. Like I said, with Dayton going out, someone's bubble burst on that one. Keep an eye out for the Big East.
Okay.
If St. John's wins it all, they were on the bubble, but I think they can pop someone else's on there, so that'd be kind of interesting. Marist Fairfield in the Metro Atlantic Conference. I say Marist or Fairfield beats Quinnipiac or something like that. They shouldn't be in a championship game because Quinnipiac would be already in there. So that's two in their conference. There's a lot of stuff that could be made. New Mexico out in the Mountain West. Mm. If they win it all, they're not in there. Mountain West is only supposed to get five teams. If they win it all, that means they're probably getting six teams. That means someone's bubble will be burst.
All right. Rafael, let's quickly go through some NBA games. That means, Chef Scotty, open up your app. I'm giving you a quick second here. There's one game we're going to pay attention to standings-wise for the Pels. We'll close up with Clippers and Pels. Suns at the Hornets. Phoenix played last night in Boston. Came up short. Anyway, Charlotte can do us some favors here. They're 10.5-point underdogs to the Suns.
I think they maybe they can cover, but I don't think they're going to do anything to surprise us. They're pretty bad.
Okay. Nuggets at the Spurs. If Denver wins, they would go back into first place for been a bit since they've been in first place. I think they're tied currently with OKC. Thunder are off, which means they could get a half game, you know, spot up there. They're 10.5-point favorites in San Antonio.
Yeah, I think Denver bounces back. They get the number. They'll be number one in the West when all said and done. I like them tonight, even though I hate to have laid that big number. This one opened up at 9. We'll okay. probably bet all the way up to 11.
All right, here we go. Pels and Clippers. New Orleans, 7.5-point favorites in this one.
And the number just moved as I answered the phone. It's now 6.5. So that's telling me someone is playing in the Clippers that maybe we didn't think. Maybe Harden, maybe Westbrook, maybe Leonard, because he played last night. So mm-hmm. someone's playing that we didn't think that was going to play if the number is dropping for the Pelicans. I still like the Pelicans no matter who's playing for the Clippers. I mean, last time we saw them
really?
On the home court.
Okay.
Yeah, last time. I mean, I think Cleveland is still scoring in New Orleans right now. That was a bad game. I like the Pelicans. I'm hoping Leonard plays and Harden plays.
Well, that injury report should be coming out here soon. I think like 1:30, 2:30, something like that is when it comes out. So as soon as it pops up, you know, we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the number just moved. So I think like I said, I've been on the phone okay. and stuff like that. So I haven't really seen anything. But someone's playing that we didn't think they were.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that. Anything in the world of fisticuffs?
It's a bad UFC card. It's hard to bounce back coming out the UFC 299. There's some interesting fights, but nothing. It's all about March. We're not talking football or your text with the Saints. March Madness, baby. Conference tournaments all weekend long.
It's all the time we got for Rafael Esparza, because coming up next, we'll talk about Xander Horvat. No. Well,
exactly. I'm sure you will.
Hey, it's a new player. I got to at least play one soundbite, don't I?
Oh, yeah, please. I'm going to record that soundbite so I can listen to it all weekend.
It's all the time we have for you. Get out of here. IBSI.sports is the way to find Rafael Esparza via social media. We'll see him on Monday. Hey, in all honesty, I got to book you for a while, man. We got to go through the brackets. You're going to help me fill them out, right? Sounds good. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Chime into the conversation. We'll get with Ross Jackson here shortly as we'll hear from CJ McCollum. Just had a chance to kind of get him real quick. Look, obviously, this game, Zion had 33 points, right? And he's been playing really well here as well and making the right moves and plays. Let's see what happens tonight against the Clippers and what hopefully will be a bounce back, you know, game for the Pels. But this is what CJ had to say on Zion as of late.
He's been great, and we've had a lot of conversations behind closed doors about what it takes to be successful. He's been getting extra conditioning in for months at this point. I think you can see it from the explosiveness, the ability to finish around the basket, the pace, and you know, obviously point Zion is very hard for the team to deal with, the strength, the speed, the vision. Defensively, you know, he's been better. He's been rebounding. I think all those things are a testament to him absorbing a lot of information around him and then figuring out how to best apply that to himself, and he's done that.
All right. We do have Ross Jackson now from Locked On Saints. We'll get more on the Pels here in a quick sec. But, Ross, thank you for joining us here this afternoon. How are you?
Hey, buddy, doing great, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
We got a lot to get into, sir. Since we last chatted, the Falcons now have Kirk Cousins, Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney added to a couple of 23-year-olds and Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. Your initial thoughts when you think of them and when you saw officially that Kirk Cousins is the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, no, I think that the Kirk Cousins to Atlanta thing was one that we've been tracking for a while. Sure. We kind of figured that that's the way that that was going. But the other additions, I mean, trading in to add in Rondale Moore and continue to add to this team, I mean, last year they put a lot of focus into building up the defense when they brought in Ryan Nielsen. Now they're going back and figuring, you know, out things over on the offensive side after, I think, astutely moving on from Desmond Ridder and getting a nice weapon in a Rondale Moore there. I think he'll fit really well in kind of the Cordarrelle Patterson role, as it seems like he's on his way out from Atlanta. So I think they've added a lot of weapons over there in Atlanta. And, you know, when you've got a good offensive system, you know, that you're hoping to bring in from Los Angeles, the hire of Zach Robinson, I think Atlanta's a team to watch in division this year. They're going to be a challenge, especially, you know, depending upon how things continue here for the Saints offseason.
Ross, let's do something here. Yesterday I was kind of thinking about the moves. And look, you know this. There's no surprise this week with the Saints. Like, you know they weren't going to make splash moves and things of that nature on Monday and Tuesday. You know their money situation. I understand they can get under a cap. I keep using the analogy of when you get paid on a Friday and then you have to make it through next Friday, you spend differently. You choose dinner differently. You do different things. And I think that's where the Saints sort of are. And I think that works if your talent is top end in the league, like they had for a while. Drew Brees, Kamara, Lattimore, those guys were top players at their position in the league. I think that works for a bit when they're top players at their position in the division. Where are they now? How many players at their position would you guesstimate that the Saints have that are better than their counterparts in the division?
I would have to take a much longer look at every other roster in order to really be able to answer that. But I'd probably put their roster at around middle of the pack in the NFL. I don't think that's crazy, and I don't think that they should be overestimated beyond that. But I think that the way that the Saints are kind of approaching this season is that they're trying. It feels like they're kind of trying to replicate what they did back in 2017. Back in 2017, their two biggest free agency additions were Nick Fairley and Larry Warford. And now the good news about, you know, free agency is that it's more than 3 days, and it continues on throughout the entire offseason. So there's a lot more opportunity for them to continue to add players, continue to make money, continue to make moves and all these other things and stuff. And so I think that, like, the thing that's so challenging about trying to judge where the Saints are right now versus where they were after they drafted Marshon Lattimore and Alvin Kamara and all of these players that you know, kind of set their next era up, is that at one point they didn't have those guys. And the way that they managed their roster before that was very different than the way that they managed the roster after that. And therefore now the way that they're managing their roster moving forward has to be very different than the way that they managed their roster when those guys were at the peak of their careers, is kind of the way that I look at it. So I think that what it is that every time that you kind of enter free agency, you have to ask the question, where are we in the cycle as an NFL team, an NFL franchise? So either you don't have the stars, so you have to spend your ways building out the middle of your roster and then trying to draft the stars for your future, or you have the young stars, so now you're looking for veteran stars, and then eventually those young stars become the veteran stars, and then now you're looking to get the young stars. I think the Saints are on the backswing of that, to where the young stars that you reference are now the veteran stars, and they need to invest in the young stars. So it feels like this is an approach to free agency of building out the middle of their roster.
Yep.
And then the big test will be, can they hit the jackpot in the draft on a couple of picks that give them the young stars that allow them to get back into the upswing of how they approach the
100% free agency. Agree with you. You know, again, you can choose the word or the phrasing, but it's technically rebuilding. You have to rebuild this roster. To have to get younger, have to get faster. How difficult is that going to be, Ross, with no third or fourth round pick? The Saints historically on their Sean, most of their meat and potatoes and top players were actually third or fourth round picks. Does it put more pressure on that first and second round selection? Do you have to grab some of those fits that you have? It feels like they got 20 of them and try to get into the fourth or third.
I think that what you look at is the 5 fifth-round selections and then your opportunity to maybe try to move up. Yeah, I think that that becomes a big part of what you're trying to do. And then you also have future selections that you can also, you know, try to move and things like that as well. You know, the team's never been shy on moving a pick from a year in advance to getting a pick in the year that they're in. So if they can move up the draft board in that way and then get their way to the middle of the draft a little bit more, third, fourth rounds, it'll give them the opportunity to do that. The tricky part about this year's draft is that it feels like there's a really strong top 100, and then there's kind of a drop-off, and then it kind of stays stagnant through the rest of the draft in terms of the way that we're projecting talent this year's draft. And so you have this really, really good crop of players at the very top, and then things just kind of balance out after that. And so whether you're drafting in the third or fourth round or the fifth and sixth round, the gap isn't as big as the gap between the second and third round. And so I think that it gives you the opportunity to be able to choose wisely about when and how you do want to move up in this year's draft, but also opens up greater opportunity for teams maybe looking to move back. And instead of drafting one or two of the third round, fourth round talent players, they might want to go for three or four of the fifth round, sixth round talented players because there's not that much of a gap in between those. So either the Saints would be comfortable sticking around in the fifth and sixth rounds, which I can't imagine that they're going to sit on six draft picks in two rounds and say, okay, we're not going to move anywhere with these. But it would give them maybe a little bit more leniency in terms of their opportunities to be able to move up and teams being more agreeable about those opportunities to move back.
All right, let's do it rapid fire here. We've got about 3.5-4 minutes with Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. As always, appreciate the time, sir. But I wanted to go through the process. No surprise, but there is a real feeling, oh, no, look what the Falcons are doing now. That said, Saints did make some moves, yeah. So give me your best tidbits on each. Adam Prentice coming back. I get it. He may not be a jersey seller, but he's kind of important on this team, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been kind of the extra offensive line. Like, every time that you talk to anybody around him from the New Orleans Saints or teams before, that's the way that they look at him. Obviously, he's had some ball handling issues here recently. This new system's going to ask for a lot of that. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you bring in some competition for him. He'll have to fight for his spot.
Zach Horvath. I love yesterday he said he's been waiting to play in an offense like this his whole career. I had a little fun with that yesterday to, you know, pick on Chef Scotty. I'm like, hey, you're going to see double barrel fullback action like you've never seen before. Who's going to catch it? Who's that? But in all honesty, why is he so excited? And you've looked at this offense a lot more than I have. Why is he excited to be in here? And why sign a player like him?
Yeah, it's an offense that wants to use the fullback in a variety of different ways. It's no longer what we've seen over the course of the past couple of years since kind of the Zach Line days has been sort of an offense that's more about being a lead blocker at fullback unless they're using Taysom out of the backfield. Now, this kind of gets them back to the way that the Saints used to utilize guys like Zach Line and John Kuhn and others that came before, Carney, all these others. And then you get an opportunity here with a guy like Xander Horvath who has that versatility to be able to catch passes, who can run, who can line up in different places, who can move around and use all these different types of motion, and who can block as well. So that he's just a little bit of an all-around fit, and so he's excited to be able to showcase all of that. It's going to be a fun fullback battle, although I might be the only one that cares about it.
No, I mean, well, again, let's see what takes place. He's excited. He's been wanting his whole career. That's why I had to ask you about it. Mm-hmm. Linebacker Willie Gay Jr., I loved, and I played the soundbite earlier where he says, I'm not really worried about anybody outrunning me. Look, I love hearing that. I don't know how many snaps he's going to get. I don't know where he's going to play, but all I know is this team needs to get some speed. I love hearing from a guy, and no one's outrunning me. So how are they going to use him? And he chose here, so does he think he's going to get some snaps, and where are they going to come from?
Yeah, I think he's ready to compete for that for sure. And look, some of that might come at the detriment of Pete Warner. Some of it might be that the Saints use more three linebackers. I mean, that's what the NFL defenses are trending to right now because NFL offenses are countering the two high safety looks by running the ball more, using more two backs, things Bingo. Like that. So because of that, three linebackers end up out on the field, so there's going to be a role. But he can also push for situational, you know, opportunities where maybe it's a third and long, and they're going into a situation where you've got a mobile quarterback and you got to defend all 11. Great, that's a Willie Gay assignment, not necessarily a Pete Werner assignment. Might be the way that the Saints look at it. So it could be situational, it could be three linebackers, all of that. But what the Saints needed at the second level was youth. Speed, playmaking ability, you get all three with Willie Gay.
And that's a change. I'm glad you brought that up because for a while, right? I mean, They played more dime than and two linebackers. So that is a change. That's it. Something to kind of keep an eye on. Finally, Cedric Wilson Jr., receiver. I've mentioned your tweet several times this show already about your film study with him, and in particular something you did in Dallas that you could probably see here, and you could maybe teach some of the other receivers.
Yeah, so when Dallas, when he had that 600-yard receiving season back in 2021, which is really his big successful season, he had some good momentum and trajectory in Dallas where he landed in Miami, kind of buried behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, which makes perfect sense. One of the things that they did with him a ton was, A, they deployed him on the slot. 500 out of his over 580 offensive snaps came from the slot in Dallas in 2021. I would expect to see that replicated. And then also him running routes in the backfield while in motion. So they would, you know, start him on one side of the field, move him in motion, snap the ball as he's crossing the center, and then he runs the route either to the outside or cuts back to the middle. He's a very good attacker over the middle of the field, does a good job at running routes and reading leverage. Is he going to be a 1,000-yard receiver for you? No, probably not. But is he a guy that's going to be able to help you move the ball down the field? Absolutely. If you can move the ball four yards every single play, you win every single football game. So you want to try to move the ball forward as often as possible, and a guy like Cedric Wilson can help you get that done.
That's why you're the man. At Ross Jackson NOLA is the way to follow Mr. Ross Jackson. You should already be. And, of course, go check him out over there, Locked On Saints. So much info to kind of get into, even though it's not, you know, the splashy signings that have a first take and others saying it. Ross, all of these moves matter, and I think they're very purposeful. They're being done for a reason, and they're being done with ties in mind. So we'll keep track of it, man. Thank you for your time. Have a great weekend.
Real pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much. Take care. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead. Feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Around this time each and every day, Jeff Boggs with ESPN Bets joins us from my sister station, KANE. Jeff, how are you this afternoon? I'm watching this Mississippi State-Tennessee game. Did you have a 60-38 Bulldog lead over the Vols right now in the second?
No, I would not have expected that. But the way they did finish yesterday against the Tigers, not wholly surprising. But, well, yeah, number one, looking bad right now, I guess.
It's crazy when you look at how they tend to some of these teams kind of get hot there towards the end. So, well, we'll see what happens in the tournament. I think that's why everyone loves March Madness, right? You never know what takes place here. But we're focusing on the NBA right here because tonight – you got the Pelicans taking on the Clippers. Numbers kind of maybe moved a little bit as of late. How do you see this one between the Clippers and the Pels right now?
The money is definitely moving to the Pelicans. The line now 7.5, according to ESPN Bet. 218.5, the over-under. The money line now, or not the money, yeah, the money line. That's what I'm talking about. Money line's plus 250 for the Clippers, and that is a jump, and minus 300 for the Pels, and injury issues may be a part of that too. We've got a couple of guys down for the Clippers. James Harden is questionable, Russell Westbrook out, and Dyson Daniels apparently out for the Pels. What do you know about Dyson?
Hopefully sooner rather than later. There was a yesterday during Trey Murphy's post-practice availability with the media, he was answering a question, and right at the very beginning, there's a loud cheer behind it. He goes, man, that was cool to see. That was Dyson Daniels dunking. So if he's dunking in a workout after practice, I think Dyson Daniels, sooner rather than later, I mean, what, it's March 15th? I got to imagine maybe before the end of the month. Would be my guess?
All right. We'll look forward to that possibility. You know, mention the spread at 7.5. Right now, that favors, again, 21-19. The Pels are against the spread when they are in this range of being favored. Mm. So put that into the equation as well.
I love that. I thought for a second you say stick it in your pipe and smoke it. I don't know why. Your tone of voice sounded like that's where you were going with that. Jazz and the Hornets games. Let's take a look at those because obviously it's so weird when you think of that. They both have had New Orleans ties, if that makes any sense, right?
That's why I kind of put those three together. You got the current Pelicans, the Hornets, who, man, it's the same franchise, different name, but then new Hornets franchise in Charlotte, and then, of course, the Jazz having been in New Orleans back in the 70s. So anyway, let's take a look at that Charlotte Suns game. In Charlotte, 17-49 overall, 9-23 at home, not great numbers in either case. Phoenix, 10 games above 500, 17-14, though, on the road. Suns have won each of the last six meetings, including 113-119 back in late December. Phoenix, 26-39-1 against the spread, and it looks like the Hornets are 26-37-3 against the spread. Again, 10.5 points are the Hornets getting tonight. Suns 10.5 point favorites, 219.5 the over-under, and money line going to the Suns at -490 +370.
Right.
And again, injuries, trade departures have helped contribute to Charlotte having one of the league's worst offenses, ranked second worst in points per game.
Oh, wow.
And, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. Well, wow, I'm listening to what you're saying.
Okay. Gotcha. The Suns have lost four straight versus the spread. They're just 1-7 against the spread over their last eight games. Eric Gordon, his knee, game time decision after missing the last couple of games. So, again, and it's a lot of points to cover, and we saw that yesterday where, you know, it was tough to cover one of those big spreads. So
right.
I'm going to kind of cheat toward the Hornets on this one, plus the 10.5.
Maybe, yeah, look, I like with the points there, especially coming back on a back-to-back for Phoenix. But, man, if they can get the win, it'd be even better, especially if the Pels can take care of their business here as well. What do you feel about the Jazz?
Well, again, Jazz taking on the Hawks in Utah tonight in Salt Lake. Jazz getting 3.5, but the money's been moving toward the Hawks. 223.5 on the points. And then Jazz +120, Hawks -140. Neither the point spread nor the final result has favored the Hawks recently. They fell 106-102 against Portland. Hawks were up 33-17 in the second quarter. Couldn't hold on. Atlanta 11 against the spread versus 32 against the spread losses against fellow Eastern Conference opponents. While 11-11 against the spread against the West this season. And then as far as the Jazz, some things to think about the Hawks. 5-14 against the spread in their last 19 games. Jazz 23-24 against the spread in their last 47 games when not the favorite, as is the case today. Kind of like this home underdog, though, today. The 3.5 points, we'll see.
Jeff, if people want to get involved, little March Madness, ESPN bet, little NBA, ESPN bet, how can we do so?
As always, the official sports book of ESPN, now live in Louisiana. It's the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. When you sign up, new users, you get $100 in bonus bets. Again, making any sportsbook bet, you're going to find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. Again, ESPN bet downloaded today. What a play. As always, got to be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms, conditions, they do apply. See the app for all the details, and I think it's time for a boat drink.
I love that. Sounds good. It is Friday, the end of your work week. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you on Monday, bud.
Appreciate it.
Yep, for sure. See how many brackets you're going to go fill out there. At least one here on ESPN New Orleans as well. This is just for you. Uncle Earl, I know you've been waiting. It's been pretty much all of Friday. 2 p.m. going into hour number 3 of the show and not a single new Saints signing. Well,
hey, Gates, you are a savior. We yelling black and gold.
There it is, Uncle Earl. I just sent it to Chef Scotty, too. Brighten up his day. 4K's already talking about the Atlanta Falcon Parade and all of that. Stanley Morgan. Isn't that like a financial firm? No, I'm talking about the wide receiver from the Bengals. He is a New Orleans native. He went to St. Aug. He's your latest signing to your New Orleans Saints. After Catherine Terrell of ESPN covers your Saints, Nick Underhill adding from New Orleans that football, Stanley Morgan will likely compete on special teams primarily. Look, they may not appear like championship moves, but you need players. That's all I'm saying. That's for you, Uncle Earl. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a new player. I mean, I'm giving you news. Giving you news. Pelicans taking on the Clippers tonight. Again, one of the things that we are looking to see for the injury report is where James Harden is. He going to be playing tonight. He didn't play last night in a win at Chicago, so we'll see if that takes place at all. As I'm looking, don't see it just yet. I'll try to find it here over the break to see if anything changes for the Pels or the Clippers when it comes to the injury reports here as well. But Pels and Clippers, just a big game because, of course, as I was saying earlier, this will give you the series edge over the Clippers if you win. And that will give you the edge in the standings. And when you take a look at it going into action tonight, we're going to speak a little bit more about this with Jake Madison coming up at 2:05. Marlon Fayright, 2:15. And then coming up at 2:30, Leo Haggerty with the Pelicans in fifth. Three games behind the Clippers, a game ahead of the Kings in six. The Suns, 2.5 back. And seven. Sports Hangover continues with Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
ESPN Bet is now live in Louisiana. As the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering. Also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. Call Joe's Septic Contractors 24-7 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, Abbeville Reserve, Odessa, Texas, and Pascagoula, Mississippi. Visit Joe's Septic at viscom.net.
We are the soldiers of the Louisiana Army National Guard. We are your neighbors. We are your sons and daughters. While we serve part-time, we are learning valuable life and job skills. We are earning money for college, for trade and technical schools, and for certifications. We are proud to serve both our country and our home state. We are your Louisiana Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Why do I need to see each individually sliced piece of bacon? That doesn't
there
make any
to
sense.
There has to be a reason for it, right?
But what's the reason?
I don't
if they
know.
Sell it other ways, it doesn't make sense. Like, are you showing off every single slice of bacon?
Bacon is packaged this way to extend its shelf life and maintain freshness.
When I go to the store and get a pack of bacon, I'm like, man, I need to save this bacon for next month.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.